Word of mouth.
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 Word of
mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. The closest many of us will get to a women's prison is watching the Netflix series Orange is the New Black. The series presents the histories and crimes and experiences of fictional female inmates as a world apart from those found in a men's penitentiary. NHPR's Emily Corwin brings us the real story set in New Hampshire, where architects are working with the Department of Corrections to design a $38 million state prison for women. And unlike most women's prisons around the country, this 224-bed prison is being designed for the particular needs of female inmates.
New Hampshire's state prison for men is a pretty typical prison. It's crowded, there's not a lot of natural light, and inmates can't leave their units without permission. The new women's prison will be built right behind the men's prison in Concord. There, things are going to be different.
I have the most recent sketch.
Deputy Commissioner of Corrections Bill McGonigal is overseeing the architect's work.
We're staying away from large dormitories. We went with all two-person cells so that when you go home, you have your roommate, just like, you know, when you went to college. It was that same kind of environment, except the doors sometimes lock.
So why will this prison look more like college? Well, McGonigal has some statistics on his mind, like the fact that nationally, around 90% of women who end up behind bars have histories of sexual and domestic abuse. They also have higher incidence of mental health and addiction problems.
We wanted to make sure that the facility supported the effects of trauma, the significant history of mental illness and substance abuse.
2 decades ago, researchers and activists began demanding that prison staff and programs be more sensitive to these circumstances, or as they call it, more gender responsive. New Hampshire's Corrections Department is committed to that idea and has turned to Arthur Thompson. He's an architect who applies these concepts to prison design.
The offenders who are in this building are all minimum or medium custody level.
12 years ago, Thompson designed a women's prison in Windom, Maine. It's held up now as a national model for gender-responsive design, and that's where we recently met up with him. Here, a few women sit around watching TV in an open lounge area. Thompson points out upholstered couches and wood coffee tables.
The softness of the materials. Natural light is a really important aspect to making this a more normative environment.
What you don't hear is the typical prison cacophony of steel doors echoing against cinder block, sounds that can trigger stress reactions for some trauma survivors and others.
This is my first time coming to prison or jail in my life, and when I walked through the doors, I was like, this doesn't look like a prison. Yeah, I was really shocked.
This is Kara Bouchard. She's a 27-year-old mother of 2, doing 9 months for theft by deception. You still lose your dignity, says Bouchard. On arrival, she was strip-searched and told to squat and cough. But now that she's settled in, she says the physical environment makes it easier to focus on her anger management, personal healing, and community college classes.
It makes you feel like at home in here. It feels like I'm at college. I don't feel like I'm in prison.
Of course, getting equal access to those kinds of educational opportunities brought about the building of the new women's prison in New Hampshire in the first place. But for inmates with longer sentences, the warm environment at Windom may actually be a less important factor. Jody Holmes is 3 years into her 6-year sentence for aggravated assault.
I've been in federal prison before I came here.
Holmes says the environments in federal prison were cold compared to Windom, but she preferred it there because each housing unit had a separate building.
People with a longer sentence feel more trapped. And in federal, it was more community and less bickering. You could have like little homes. It wasn't little homes. It was just little buildings, but it was more like a community.
Back in New Hampshire, Deputy Commissioner Bill McGonigal says fostering community is a goal of the gender-responsive approach. It's not clear yet if New Hampshire can afford multiple buildings, but he says he hopes open spaces inside the building will encourage that kind of interaction.
Women want to be more relational, and they're their connections with other women. It's one of their strengths.
The facility in Windham was built with this idea in mind. Tables and couches are set up in open areas which all medium and minimum security women have access to. But Jody Holmes and Kara Bouchard say the open spaces do create opportunities for harassment between inmates. Making friends here is not easy.
The first year that I got here, I was ridiculed and put down and treated very badly.
I honestly get picked on all the time, not gonna lie.
Alyssa Benedict consults to prisons on gender-responsive programming. She says you can't just build the space, you have to staff it with enough well-trained officers.
You have to actually train your staff to understand female development, how they relate to each other, and how to, as a staff member, insert yourself in a skillful way to create safety.
Bill McGonigal says staffing at the new prison in Concord is still in question. The Concord Men's Prison next door is chronically understaffed, with officers required to work 2 to 3 16-hour days a week. The department has requested increased women's personnel, but that'll be subject to the next round of budget negotiations at the State House. It's just the building lawmakers have funded so far. McGonigal says his main focus here is on providing women parity with the men when it comes to space for educational programs.
Access to recreation, classrooms, both for vocational classrooms, regular education classrooms.
But Alyssa Benedict says opportunities to build relationships and access to safe, quiet environments should not be limited to female inmates. Men need those things too.
It's almost why we have to tackle the prison paradigm gender aside on some level.
Of course, any changes to the men's prison are unlikely here in New Hampshire. Construction crews break ground for the new women's prison on August 18th. The prison is slated to open October of 2016. For Word of Mouth, I'm Emily Corwin.
And Emily Corwin joins us in the studio with more on that story. Emily, thanks for coming in.
Thanks. Hi.
We heard about gender-responsive design in your piece. Give us a little more on the origins of that idea.
Sure. So about 20 years ago, a few researchers recognized that services in prisons, like treatment programs, were being just sort of copy-pasted from men's prisons into women's prisons without any sort of attention to the different experiences that women inmates have. And in fact, women inmates have, 90% of them have histories of sexual trauma and domestic.
90?
90 domestic abuse. Women also have higher instances of mental health problems. There are a lot of these kinds of ways that women come into the system with different experiences. And so there was this effort to make the programming respond to that, trauma-informed, sort of gender-responsive. This is the lingo that started being used. And it wasn't until, maybe a little bit more recently, like last 10, 15 years, that architects, like the ones working on the New Hampshire prison, started adopting those ideas and working them into their prison design.
Well, you spoke to the architect who also designed a standalone women's unit at a Maine Correctional Center, which received a lot of recognition for its soft surfaces, for its soft colors. This was 12 years ago. How has that facility weathered?
Yeah, so I did get a tour there. There's a lot of natural light. You can see sort of down the hallway. You can see where people are coming from. I can understand how that would be helpful. It feels like college. It feels kind of like maybe a community college. So you're asking how it wears, and so it looks good. I've heard that men, that they may destroy furniture a little faster, that male inmates aren't quite as respectful of their environment. I don't know if that's true or not, but that reminds me of something I wanted to mention, which is that there's this interesting issue that comes up with this whole gender-responsive approach. I was talking to a consultant named Alyssa Benedict who works in Connecticut with prisons around the region. And she was telling me that it's really too easy for prison administrators to sort of make sweeping generalizations about what gender responsivity means and to conclude that there are these sort of like victimized, traumatized women inmates who need safety and they need privacy and they need natural light and comfy furniture. And the flip of that would be that male inmates, who are stereotyped as these sort of hardened, predatory criminal people, that they should continue to just be sort of managed in a warehouse kind of environment and that they wouldn't need security or safety or privacy, positive relationships. They need all of those things. We all, women and men, have the same fundamental needs. And the gender responsivity should be about delivering assistance delivering the treatment and the programs in a way that makes sense considering our different experiences, it should not be about providing different fundamental resources. It shouldn't be about that. It should be about how those things are provided.
So both from your own impression, but also, you know, the data, does design actually make a difference in the outcomes of interaction with prisoners?
I couldn't find any direct data saying recidivism rates go down when you have a prison designed that's gender responsive. I don't know. On the other hand, everybody, including the architects who I talked to, agree that the most important thing is programming, it's staff, it's having enough trained staff to keep an environment safe. You know, the truth is that having enough staff in prisons is a major problem nationally and here.
Well, that was a little shocking to me. I know that the building of prisons, there's often a lot of advocacy for them because they employ so many people. There are so many people looking for work. Why are prisons so chronically understaffed?
Well, I'm just going to talk about New Hampshire because that's what I know about.
Okay.
And New Hampshire's prisons are chronically understaffed. This is a problem that goes back, you know, at least 10 years, probably more. It has mostly to do with the budget. It's hard to convince the public and to convince lawmakers that the prison system is where our money needs to go when there's, you know, so much demand from everywhere else. So in order to keep lower staffing levels, they have people working forced overtime. A lot of officers are working, you know, three double shifts a week.
But that costs a lot of money.
It costs a lot in overtime, but it saves money in benefits. And there's some sort of calculation, like there's X number of months or years for which overtime is actually cheaper than benefits, and then it switches. So right now they've got 60 security staff short pretty much at all times.
Well, what I'm hearing here is, you know, less money for staffing, less money for programming. Our country's mood around corrections tends to go through cycles, you know, a kind of treat people, rehabilitate them, or just incarcerate, you know, sort of lock them up and throw away the key kind of thing. What is the political will here for improving design or programming or staffing for New Hampshire's prisoners?
I think that there's a lot of support for this new women's prison. I think now that that is done, the deed is done, the money is in the budget for a new prison, I think people are excited about it and feel good about it. I don't think that there's a lot of appetite for spending more on, say, operations or the men's prison. I know that there's going to have to be a bigger operations budget for the new women's prison, but I do know that Commissioner Bill Wren is really worried about staffing it adequately, especially right away. So I do think there's sort of like this maybe general shift in public awareness and possibly in political will around, you know, shifting from a really punishment-heavy ideology back towards the sort of treatment-based ideology that was more popular a couple decades ago. And maybe that's what we're seeing in part with this women's prison and all of its sort of emphasis on a normal feeling environment. But I know that, you know, the men's prison does not feel normal. It feels quite punitive or, you know, like a warehouse. And I don't think that there's really any expectation that that'll change anytime soon.
NHPR's Emily Corwin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks.
Emily is working on more stories about New Hampshire's prison system, but you can hear what she's produced so far. There are links at wordofmouthradio.org.